Welcome back. Turn, Turn, Turn by the Byrds, number one on this day in 1965. We are now here with Leah Tarachansky, who's been a guest on the show before. She is the Israel-Palestine correspondent for the Real News Network and a filmmaker whose current work is called Side of the Road that she's bringing to Baltimore this weekend. Leah, welcome to the Mark Steiner Show. Good to have you back. Hi, Leah. Do we have her up? Hi, Leah.
Thanks so much for having me, Mark.
There you are. So 410-319-8888 to join in this conversation. Leah, I just first want to say that to all of our listeners, as we really encourage them to come out to the film this weekend at Hopkins and at 2640, we'll tell them how to get there, that this is a very amazing film. I've sent it out to a number of people to review, and I'm hoping they'll write about it because people need to hear about this, because you tackled a very difficult issue as an Israeli, as someone who, as you in the film talk about, grew up in a West Bank community and have a great deal of love for your people and your family, to kind of wrestle with this tragic beginning of the State of Israel. So this was not easy for you to do.
Right. Well, in fact, you know, 1948 and the creation of the State of Israel, and let's call it the launch of the conflict as we know it today, is really at the center of what I think is the biggest taboo in Israeli society still. And how do you name it? I don't know. I mean, there's so much to it. It's a form of collective denial that we all sort of a silent agreement we all share about what questions we don't ask, such as why are the Palestinians fighting us? You know, what do they want? Why is the right of return this thing that keeps coming up again and again? Why are the Palestinians the only refugees in the world that are exceptionalized with the UN, you know, UNRWA and all these things, you know? And there is so much to this conflict that is exceptionalized because of the Holocaust and because of the Jewish history and so on, and Zionism. So the film doesn't go and talk about the history of it. Not really. I didn't want to make a historical documentary. Instead, what I wanted to do was make a film that talks about the psychology of the history and the psychology of the conflict, particularly from the perspective of people who perpetrated some of the ethnic cleansing and massacres in 1948, who themselves struggle with what they've done, themselves struggle with the crimes that they've committed, and over the course of 4 years, when I filmed them, they kind of go back and forth in talking about some of the things that they've done, and this is for me. This was very interesting because if you grow up in Israel, you're basically taught that 1948 and the beginning of the conflict was this miraculous war where the nascent Jewish state and the nascent Jewish militias united against, you know, with their tiny little army against all of the Arab world that came to destroy us. And as a miracle from God, we won that war. And when you talk to veterans and when you read the history, even history written by Israeli historians, especially the new historians, you realize that a lot of that is pure myths. And yet those myths persist, and they're very strong in our society. And so these veterans, even if they do want to come out and sort of talk about their own experiences fighting in that war, even if they regret some of the things they did, they are working inside of a context in Israel that is very much anti, very much against them coming out and them saying these things. And and we see now the rise of neo-fascist groups in Israel and the rise of this mentality that you are either with us or you're with the enemy, and anyone who questions anything that we do is a traitor and is with the enemy, and an increase in polarization in the Israeli society. So this is some of the themes that I cover in the film as a reflection of a lot of what we're seeing in our society today.
You know, one of the things I was thinking, because of the conversation we just had about the lack of indictment of the police officer who killed Eric Garner, and thinking about how the root of the United States of America in many ways, the turmoil we have here today is rooted in slaveholding past and how the wealth of America was built around that. And in some ways, it seems to me that the same issues on a different level and different being defined by different historical circumstances are also happening in Israel with the contradictions taking place now because of how everything began, which is some of what I got from the film. I watched it for the third time last night.
It's almost as many times as I've seen it.
It's an incredible film. I mean, it's an amazing film. And I think because – and that's what you set up in many ways is maybe the historical context is kind of emotionally and viscerally forcing Israelis and other people around America and Jews to look at what the reality of the beginning was and how that defines what's happening today.
Yes, exactly. And I think that the magnitude of the problem that we face in Israel is as big as that. You know, I mean, if I was to go to white Americans and say to them, if you really want justice in your society, if you really want to talk about equality and live in an egalitarian society, what you have to do is give up your home so that there is enough money for reparations for slavery. Go ahead and do that. You know, maybe a couple of radical lefties will be like, yay, but most of the whites in America would say, hell no. And that's how big the compromise is that we need to make. I'm not saying that Jews need to leave Israel. I'm not saying that Israel needs to be destroyed. You know, a lot of these trigger words, a lot of people get up on their, you know, horses when you talk about reparations and you talk about the past in Israel. But it is very clear that this conflict started with a massive ethnic cleansing of two-thirds of the Palestinian people, and that ethnic cleansing continues until today, whether it's direct, such as in some parts of the West Bank, or it's administrative, such as in Jerusalem, or it's, you know, bureaucratic through and legal through various laws, like the nationality law the Israeli government is debating now inside of Israel, or it's military pure state violence, as we saw this summer with Gaza. You know, the project continues, and it's very well and alive today. So it's not just a historical thing, but the biggest ethnic cleansing happened in 1948-49. And it's not just the people that were expelled. You know, we're talking about a mass destruction and demolition of more than 500 villages. You know, it's not a few bad apples. This was the state policy. We're talking about, you know, the names, hundreds and hundreds of names of places just erased off the map. I don't know the names of the villages on which my neighborhood is built. I don't know where those people are. Mm-hmm. I know that they're probably in Gaza. I know that if they are still alive, you know, their descendants are there, either in Lebanon in refugee camps or in Syria in refugee camps. And every day they still want to return. That's not going to stop until we resolve a conflict. But in order to resolve this conflict, the first thing you got to do is look at it soberly, honestly, intelligently, and say, okay, what are the compromises we're going to have to do? But before even that, you need to say, what is it that the Palestinians want? And for that, you know, I made the film.
And I think the film, and that way I encourage everybody to see. And I want to get a couple of callers in here before we have to let you go, Leah. But I'll say this on our way to our callers. I mean, there are several moments in the film, the people in this film that really got to me. One was, I think, is it Amnon, right? The Palmach fighter?
Yes.
And who fought in 1948, who kind of, you could see his deep emotional pain because of what he did and what he took part in, and how difficult for him it was to even talk about, but he did, and was the young Palestinian journalist who was allowed back in so you could take him to the village of his that was destroyed, and the emotion of that, and also your emotion on the road when you stopped and literally broke down, torn between looking at the place you grew up in and the Arab village that was in the fence that was beyond that, which was where the Palestinians were forced to live, walled off, fenced off. And I think these moments were very powerful, and I think that cinematically very powerful. I'm glad that we're in this film and talk to that. So I just want to lay that out for people. I'm really encouraged to come out this weekend.
And the reason I called it On the Side of the Road is because I wanted to pay homage to a really brilliant book written by the Israeli historian Noga Kadmon, who lays out specifically how that erasing happened. So it is a lot of scenes in the film, actually, as you pointed out, happen on the side of the road. But I really wanted people to know about her book. And it's actually translated now to English, and it's going to come out this year. I think it's called On the Margins of Consciousness.
Well, we'll have to make sure we talk about that one. So let me get a couple of callers in here while you're with us, Leah, and then announcing so that way people can go, which I'll tell them now on the way and tell them at the end. This film On the Side of the Road is showing twice this weekend in Baltimore. You can see it at the Johns Hopkins University Homewood Campus at 6:30 at Hodson, H-O-D-S-O-N Hall, room 213, and Sunday at the 2640 space, 2640 St. Paul Street at 7 o'clock. That's just a Sunday. We'll have that on our website. We'll announce it again at the end of this conversation and at the end of the program. 410-319-8888. Sal, you're on the air.
Sir, I'm a Palestinian, and I came to this great country when I was 3 years old. I didn't come voluntarily, neither did my mother and father. In America, since 1948 and the inception of Israel, there's just been this incubation of the superiority complex. If you talk to Zionists in Israel, you will see that they do not respect Christians, nor Muslims, nor Africans, and they want an exclusively Jewish state in the world. That's the same as if a KKK member said, I want Oklahoma to be all white and no blacks allowed.
Sal has an interesting point, Leah.
Yes, he does. And I think he's, you know, there's a lot of exploitation of not just Jewish history in terms of the Bible, the Old Testament, but also a lot of exploitation of the Holocaust. And yes, I agree that a lot of people in Israel, I wouldn't call them Zion Nazis, because I think that these are words that shut down conversation instead of starting conversations, and I also don't believe that they're Nazis, but we definitely are seeing a lot of fascistic elements in Israel that do propagate Jewish exclusivity. And you don't need to go to the far, far fascist right. The law that the Prime Minister of Israel is now pushing for in the parliament, if you actually read what it says, it kind of dumps the democratic out of the Jewish and democratic and says this is a Jewish state. And what does that mean? It means a Jewish state only for Jews. And not just the Jews in Israel, but the Jews all around the world. So the homeland, the historical homeland of also Palestinians, and 20% of Israelis are Palestinians, Israeli citizens, let's say. It says to them, while at the same time propagating in their communities all kinds of stuff about you are part of Israel and you are very much a part of Israel, but here's a law that says you're not a part of Israel. Only Jews can be part of Israel. So it's very much about Jewish control of all of the territory of Israel-Palestine.
Let's go back to the phones of 410-319-8888. And Alan, you're on the air.
Good morning. How's everybody today?
Very well, Alan. Good morning.
Yeah, I'd like to say that as far as, you know, I just recently read a statement by Holocaust survivors condemning the genocide against the Palestinian people. And unfortunately, this was written against a really shameful national chauvinist statement. And Eli Wiesenthal signed the really reactionary statement. So it bothers me that at this point in our history that we can't confront Zionism openly. And frankly speaking, I believe the second worst thing after the Holocaust was the creation of the Jewish state. And I'd also like to add in something that's a little off mark, but basically, if Jews, I'd like to Jews and a number of opportunists, I call them Zionists because I'm not a Zionist, a number of opportunists in the anti-choice movement have used the Holocaust as an excuse for their policies. I'd say get off it, especially the Seamless Garment Network people, that if you expect progressive Jews to be anti-Zionist, you better get off that anti-choice tip.
Right. Thank you, Alan. You can see that when you arrive here with this film on Saturday, Leah, there'll be a lot of controversy in the audience, and I think that'd be good though. And I would just also go ahead.
I mean, we are talking. Like, I find that I have oftentimes have to remind people that we are talking about people's lives. We're talking about our conflict. We're talking about people's homes. You know, I don't know how many people died for this idea, but it's thousands and hundreds of thousands over the years. We're talking about real people's lives. It makes sense that people get up in arms about it. It makes sense that people get upset about it. They should. I'm talking about my life. We're fighting for our life inside of what is becoming a fascist state. Of course people should be upset about it. People should be up in arms about it. They should demand that their government here in the United States pull out the billions of dollars that it donates to our arms industry. They should be demanding that that money go to schools and hospitals and to, you know, proper training for the police force and so on and so forth, so that you don't end up with the kind of murders that we've seen recently, and for a lot of the anti-racist work that needs to happen. Why is your government donating $3 billion to our arms industry? We have enough problems as it is. I'm 100% certain that once your government, once the United States imperial power gets out of the Middle East, we will find a way to live together as we always have before you got involved.
And I those are some of the statements you also can hear in the hearts of some of the people there. And the way you opened it, the way you closed the film, and that's the message that comes across very clearly for all of us. And I think that this is something I think that people who do not know and understand the conflict or the roots of what happened in 1948 need to come and really wrestle with this film and watch it. It's a really well-done film. Leah spent a long time editing this thing and getting it down and honing it to the place that it is. And it's a marvelously emotionally and intellectually powerful film. And so Leah Tarachansky, who is correspondent for Real News Network in Israel and Palestine, created this film on the side of the road. It'll be showing twice this weekend. First, you can see it at Johns Hopkins University Homewood Campus on Friday night at 6:30 in Hodson Hall, HODSON 213, 6:30 Friday night, and Sunday at the 2640 space at 7 o'clock. That's at 2640 St. Paul Street. There'll be the film and a discussion afterwards. And there'll be plenty of time for the conversation. The film was only about an hour and 20 minutes long, so plenty of time for a conversation after the film. Leah, thanks so much for the work you do, and thanks so much for coming to Baltimore with this film.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark.
You're always welcome here on The Mark Steiner Show. Thank you, Leah. Leah Tarachansky, the film, On the Side of the Road, this weekend. We'll have it posted on our website. Do not miss it. We'll be right back. It's time for our look at health and fitness here. Our monthly look at that here on The Mark Steiner Show. Get up, stand up. Bob Marley. We'll be right back. Get up, stand up.